Good morning. It's good to see you all here today, especially those of you that are visiting with us. We're especially thankful that you've chosen to be here and invite you to come back at any opportunity you have. I'd invite you all to follow along in your Bible this morning. We'll begin in Genesis chapter 2 in a moment. In the lesson this morning, we'll take a brief survey of God's instructions for mankind regarding food, that is, what he should eat. We'll see that from the very beginning, God has provided food for man's needs and given him specific instructions regarding it. We'll also see that under the law of Christ today, the food God has provided for us is better than any given before. Let's begin then in Genesis chapter 2 at verse 15. Genesis 2 verses 15 through 17. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." When God created man in the beginning and placed him in the garden, he provided food for him via any tree except for one. From the very beginning, we should note that while God has abundantly provided for man's needs, he has also excluded certain foods from consumption. After Adam and Eve sinned, God gave them new regulations regarding their food in chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Genesis 3, beginning in verse 17. "And to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return.'" From this point forward, man no longer had access to the garden, but was instructed to eat the plants of the field and bread. In Genesis chapter 9, God gave Noah new instructions regarding what man should eat after the waters of the flood had subsided. Genesis chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground and all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. As I gave you the green plants, I give you everything, but you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood.'" Now, Noah is told that every moving thing that lives is food for him in addition to the plants. Again, however, there is a restriction given in verse 4. "But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood." The next major change in God's law regarding food came with the law of Moses, the old law, which was both a civil and religious law, which God gave specifically for his chosen people, the nation of Israel. This law was very detailed and specific about how his people should behave in all aspects of life, including what they were to eat. In Leviticus chapter 3, we see that the people were not to eat blood as before, but there's another restriction place. Leviticus 3 and verse 17. "It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwelling places that you eat neither fat nor blood." So now also the fat is excluded from their diet. In Leviticus chapter 11, as part of the law of Moses, we see that no longer was every moving thing that lives good for food. In Leviticus 11, beginning verse 1, "And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying to them, speak to the people of Israel, saying, these are the living things that you may eat among all the animals that are on the earth. Whatever parts the hoof and is cloven-footed and chews the cud, among the animals you may eat. Nevertheless, among those that chew the cud or part the hoof, you shall not eat these. The camel, because it chews the cud but does not part the hoof, is unclean to you. And the rock badger, because it chews the cud but does not part the hoof, is unclean to you. And he goes on and listing clean and unclean animals through verse 12. In verse 12, or verse 13 beginning, he describes the clean and unclean birds that may and may not be eaten. In verse 20, a description is given regarding insects that are clean and unclean, what can and cannot be eaten. And in verse 29, the swarming creatures, and these are unclean to you among the swarming things that swarm on the ground, the mole rat, the mouse, the great lizard of any kind. And he goes on through the entire chapter, and we'll read verses 44 through 47, where God says, "For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. You shall not defile yourselves with any swarming thing that crawls on the ground. For I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law about beast and bird and every living creature that moves through the waters and every creature that swarms on the ground, to make a distinction between the unclean and the clean, and between the living creature that may be eaten and the living creature that may not be eaten." In Deuteronomy chapter 12, the command against eating blood is repeated. Deuteronomy 12, verses 23 through 28. "Only be sure that you do not eat the blood, for the blood is the life, and you shall not eat the life with the blood. You shall not eat it. You shall pour it out on the earth like water. You shall not eat it, that all may go well with you and with your children after you, when you do what is right in the sight of the Lord. But the holy things that are due from you and your vow offerings you shall take, and you shall go to the place that the Lord will choose, and offer your burnt offerings, the flesh and the blood, on the altar of the Lord your God. The blood of your sacrifices shall be poured out on the altar of the Lord your God, but the flesh you may eat. Be careful to obey all these words that I command you, that it may go well with you and with your children after you forever, when you do what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God." We see in verse 28 that God was very serious about these food laws and every other law he gave his people. He told them to be careful to obey all the words that he commanded them, and in doing so, they would be doing what was right and good in his sight. Many of the feasts or festivals given under the law of Moses also had special instructions regarding food. Let's turn back to Exodus chapter 12 and read the instructions given to Moses and Aaron by God regarding the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. In Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, 'This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. As a statute forever, you shall keep it as a feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses. For if anyone eats with its what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall hold a holy assembly, and on the seventh day a holy assembly. No work shall be done on those days, but what everyone needs to eat, that alone may be prepared by you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. In the first month, from the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven is to be found in your houses. If anyone eats what is leavened, that person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a sojourner or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your dwelling places. You shall eat unleavened bread. Again, we see very specific, detailed instructions from God describing how this special food was to be prepared, how it was to be eaten, and even how it was to be disposed of. The nation of Israel, as God's chosen people, were given these laws that things would be well with them. Let's read in Deuteronomy chapter 11, where God sums up this thought. Deuteronomy 11, beginning in verse 13. And if you will indeed obey my commandments that I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, he will give the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the later rain, that you may gather in your grain and your wine and your oil. And he will give grass in your fields for your livestock, and you shall eat and be full. Take care lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will shut up the heavens, so that there will be no rain, and the land will yield no fruit, and you will perish quickly off the good land that the Lord is giving you. You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your eyes, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, and when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. For if you will be careful to do all this commandment that I command you to do, loving the Lord your God, walking in all his ways, and holding fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourselves. We've seen so far that under the old law, the law of Moses, God gave his people very specific instructions about what to eat and what not to eat. And as we just read in Deuteronomy, if they loved God and served him from the heart, he would provide for their every physical need, that they should eat and be full. However, when we come to study the New Testament and the words of Jesus, things are different again. Let's turn to John chapter 6 and read there the things that Jesus told his fellow Jews about what they should be eating. John chapter 6. In the beginning of this chapter, Jesus had miraculously fed 5,000 men with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. When the people saw this sign, they were ready to take him by force and make him their king. Let's pick up in verse 22, where these same people are looking for Jesus the next day. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 22. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone who has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" This truly would have been a very hard saying, a difficult concept for these disciples to understand. Jesus had just told his Jewish brethren, who had grown up in the old law with its repeated instructions to not eat blood. In verse 53, he told them, "Truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Thankfully, today we have the complete revealed will of God recorded for us in the Scriptures. And while the words of Christ in this chapter may be difficult to grasp at first, we can understand them. In verse 51, Jesus told them, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." In Matthew 4, when tempted by Satan to turn stones into loaves of bread, Jesus responded with a quotation from the law of Moses. Matthew 4 and verse 4, "But he answered, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" What the Jewish peers of Jesus may not have known is what we do know from John chapter 1, John 1 and verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." The bread that God would have us eat today, the bread that we can eat and never hunger, was not the physical flesh of Jesus, but rather his words, the Word of God. Recall in Matthew 4 and verse 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Just as the physical body without its proper food and nourishment will die, we are spiritually dead without the bread of life, without Jesus and his word. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we're instructed to strongly desire that spiritual food which gives us life. 1 Peter 2, beginning in verse 1. "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good." Earlier, we read many of the restrictions God placed on the diets of his children, the nation of Israel. In the law of Christ, we find there are no longer restrictions on our physical diet. In Acts chapter 10, God sent Peter a vision prior to the gospel being revealed to Gentiles. Let's read in Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 9. Acts 10, and verse 9, beginning. "The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray, and he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air, and there came a voice to him, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But Peter said, 'By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean.' And the voice came to him again a second time, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven." While this passage does not specifically instruct all followers of Christ today that there are no physical dietary restrictions, there are no passages in the law of Christ which do restrict the Christian's diet. In Colossians chapter 2, this issue is addressed by Paul. Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 16. "Let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch," referring to things that all perish as they are used, "according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." we do not need to worry about eating clean or unclean things, but instead put our focus on Christ, the bread from heaven, and his word. And while we are not restricted in our physical diets like the children of Israel were under the old law, we are restricted in our spiritual diet. In 1 Corinthians 10, we see we are to eat exclusively of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 15. I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices participants in the altar? What do I imply then? That food offered to idols is anything? Or that an idol is anything? No, I imply that what pagans sacrifice, they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. As Christians, we cannot partake of the Lord and of sin. We must long for that spiritual milk, as we read in 1 Peter 2, that by it we may grow up to salvation. And just as growth of the physical body requires a steady diet of healthy food, we must see that we are growing in the Lord by taking in a steady diet of his word. The words of the Hebrew writer are a warning to us regarding the need to grow in Christ and in the bread of life, which is his word, in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5, verses 12 through 14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Let us all strive towards spiritual maturity by partaking only of Christ and his word, by setting our minds on things that are above, and by longing for and seeking out the spiritual nourishment he has provided for us through his word. In Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 23, we read earlier the command not to eat the blood. Only be sure that you do not eat the blood, for the blood is the life, and you shall not eat the life with the flesh. In John 6, though, we read where Christ told the people that they must drink the blood. John 6, in verses 53 and 54 again. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Under the law of Christ, we can have life, eternal life, through Christ, his body, and his blood. In Hebrews 9 and verse 22, we read, "Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." And in verse 26, speaking of Jesus, the scripture says, "But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." The Word did become flesh. He came and lived as a man and gave his life on the cross for my sins and for your sins. He's given us his Word, the bread of life, that we can have life eternal through him. And in his Word, he asks for us to love him and obey him. Today, if you would like to obey Jesus by turning from your sins and being baptized for the forgiveness of them, or if you have any other need, we ask that you please make it known as we stand and as we sing.